Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.
Hi there, Pete here from The Ramble Now. Well, I hope you're enjoying another great preview show. I'm probably being quite hilarious at this point, no doubt. Well, if you're listening to the preview show on Saturday the 28th, we are playing a gig at Alexandra Palace tonight. Come and see us mess around for an entire hour and a half. That's ramblelive.com. Get your tickets.
It ain't easy, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the preview show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway. Spurs face Southampton after they lost in the Cup. Liverpool are off to Bramall Lane, and Manchester United lock horns with Arsenal. Hi, gang. Marcus, Luke, Pete and Jim in your ears.
Hello. How are you doing?
Woo.
Right up.
I like being in your ears.
Yeah.
In your anvil. Isn't there a hammer and anvil in there?
There is in the ear, yeah, in the inner ear.
On the eardrum. Yeah.
Could well be.
Cochlear.
How many? Yeah, another one.
No, none of that chat. Thank
how
you.
Many? how many rambles have we done now? How many shows is this?
Oh, it's a fair few.
I think it's over 1,000.
Easily,
yeah,
over
probably.
20.
Would you say, Pete?
Over 20, definitely.
That's for sure. Yeah. I think we've done over 1,000 of these.
I found a little sound clip last night I sent to you guys on the WhatsApp group about, who was it now? Xabi Alonso had done like a little testimonial.
It was Marcus.
Ramble. It was me, bruv.
And someone, who else was it? Kay Murray. In the mix zone at Real Madrid.
Yeah, at the Bernabeu. Mm.
Trying to sort of get a...
Seduce Emmanuel Adebayor.
Yeah,
let's be clear.
Marcus was trying to seduce Emmanuel Adebayor into giving a quote for the Ramble.
Yeah.
And he ran him out.
He ran
he
off.
He said, no, sorry.
Did he run off towards the Arsenal fans?
Yeah. Arsenal fans at the end.
But kid, fair play, she went in the bad way. She went, oh, Xabi did it.
Yeah.
Xabi did it!
And he did.
Last roll of
he
the
did.
Dice.
Good old Xabi Alonso.
Let's start with something more current, though. lots of killings in the Carabao.
Yeah.
My goodness. I want to start with Burton beating Bournemouth 2-0.
A lot of bees.
There was a lot of bees. And there was a lot of floodlight failures. What was that about?
Let us know. Show at footballrambledaily.com if you've ever been at a game that's had more than 28 minutes of added time.
That is quite something.
28. If you were watching the excellent, and I have to say, all things considered, the excellent Sky Sports football, I can't remember what it's called now, the soccer special kind of thing, when it's a League Cup, and they show all the goals as they go in.
Yeah.
Richard Keys fuming. And if you were watching that on mute, and you saw the board go up 28 minutes, you'd be like, what is happening?
Yeah.
You probably would have thought something terrible happened.
Substitution.
Yeah, it's 30 seconds for a sub, didn't it? So did each team make 14 subs?
Yeah. No, it was 56 subs in that case, didn't you?
Wow.
Yeah. Imagine what kind of tomfoolery was going on while the lights were down.
Well,
yeah. Maybe when the lights go out.
But on Soccer Special, it got even more dramatic when Gary Rowett, who was one of the people on the panel, said, my family live in the area. I've been texting them. Don't worry, there's a more broad power cut in the town. It's not just the stadium.
That's a relief to know.
And so we've got further information on that.
Was he genuinely thinking like there was a burglary going on? Well, they've got to burgle the stadium. They've cut the lights. They've cut the power.
They've stolen the vault.
Pete, you might find it strange for someone to to be genuinely worried about their own family.
Right, okay.
But Gary didn't. Gary was very concerned.
Yeah. I like the idea of actually just them getting on with it and maybe having like head torches and some way of lighting up the ball. That's way good. More interesting.
But you know what
right?
happens? Phones just come out. Everyone's phones.
Yeah, exactly.
It looks like again, John Bon Jovi. Like, look, doesn't it, Marcus?
Oh, big time.
Yeah. Realistically, if you're going to mess about with the rules of the game and just see what sticks, you should do it in a competitive competition, and the Carabao Cup is the only candidate for that.
Can they do VAR in pitch black?
Could they? Because they're going to pour a bit of Carabao into the floodlights and get them going again.
They probably would in some kind of advert for Carabao. Yeah.
Rather than VAR, they could have one of those like courtroom artists.
All in those Tron suits.
Yeah.
Now you're talking. Mm.
Daft Punk on the ones and twos. Nice. That'd be brilliant. Well done, Burton. Yeah.
Because nowadays floodlights are LED, aren't they? So, I mean, they should be able to run on a lot less power.
Talk to us about that, Pete.
I was going to say, over to you.
Isn't the lack of
generators,
power?
Guys.
Generators.
Where's the generators? Where's the backup?
Talking about my generators.
Where's the backup generators, guys?
Exactly.
Honestly.
My goodness.
It was a good win for Burton.
It was a great win for the Brewers. They beat the Cherries 2-0.
Eddie Howe has faced Burton quite a lot in his managerial career, and he's beaten them every single time until last night.
He's come unstuck. Not so smart now, Howe.
No. What about Oxford United beating West Ham 4-0?
I mean, that's a lot of goals, isn't it?
It is a lot of goals.
Such as that.
Yeah, and alarmingly few or no amount of power cuts in the Oxford area, but they
despite
beat
West Ham fans' best efforts, perhaps.
Yeah, it was a lack of energy from West Ham, you'd say, but it was a good win for Oxford United nonetheless, as they march on in the cup. There's one or two other giant killings that we'll talk about, but the Oxford as we go. But yeah, let's concentrate on that one.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that one thing that I mean, I know they played a bit of a weakened team, West Ham, but they had a lot of recognisable names in there. Mm. And the concerning thing for West Ham fans surely will be that three of those four, well, they all came in the second half, but three of those four goals came in like the last 20 minutes. It was almost like they completely piled in.
Yeah.
That's done now. And realistically, for West Ham fans, you'd be frustrated, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you would.
We're going to talk about people being frustrated in the Carabao Cup.
Well, hang on, don't jump the gun.
Then I might have something to say about that.
Yeah.
But West Ham would have proper designs on being there, right? Come the latter stages, and now they're not going to be able to because they've been beaten and they've been hammered by Oxford United.
This is the thing with a club like West Ham. Pellegrini, who he would have won the competition, surely would he not have, in charge of Man City, I think, in his second season, was it?
Did he really?
I'm pretty sure he won the League Cup. It may not have been called the Carabao at the time. Mm. But Pellegrini and that squad, you know, we say this all the time. The league is going to be won by Manchester United or Liverpool, obviously. Manchester City, Gordon Bennett.
Bloody hell, ears pricking up all over Manchester City.
Blimey O'Reilly. What a slip of the tongue that was.
He won the League Cup twice, by the way, Manuel Pellegrini, in 2014 and 2016.
Yeah.
Sorry, we've had Gordon Bennett and Blimey O'Reilly.
I tell you what.
I just wonder, is Blimey O'Reilly a person? Is it a person whose first name is Blimey?
Yeah, I don't know. I've got Flippin' Henry still on the bench, though.
Flippin' Henry, great.
So I might bring him on.
You don't hear from him much.
Yeah, because Gordon Bennett's so prolific.
Yes.
And your aunt's too giddy to tell you about it.
I forget what I was saying. Oh, yeah. So we say this all the time, don't we? The League Cup's there to be... Well, I understand a big team tends to win it. I understand Man City are the holders, for crying out loud. But if you draw one of the bigger sides in the earlier rounds, it's always a tough tie. But they will field younger players and all the rest of it. So I don't know if West Ham is just disappointed.
Well, we've seen teams get to the latter stages. We've seen, was it Bradford City?
Yeah.
Swansea obviously win it.
Birmingham City won it once.
They did, yeah, exactly.
I remember all too well.
And the other aspect to it, Marcus, which I'm sure we probably mention all the time, but it does bear repeating. If you are a player who's coming into the team in the League Cup, whether you're a young player or a fringe player for a Premier League side, you should be thinking, this is my chance to make an impression, to show the manager what he's missing out on. Particularly at somewhere like Man United, for example. They're not having a great time of it. They're poor away from home. They're, as I said last week or earlier this week, they're average unspectacular at home. These players can be making an impression. To go down 4-0 to an Oxford United team is disgraceful for West Ham. And they should be having a look at themselves about it, because they would have had decent designs on winning this trophy. Yeah.
Of course, not all the games ended in giant killings, and speaking of 4-0 losses, we...
Well, that was a giant killing, wasn't it?
We move on...
it was a killing. It was a massacre,
yeah,
I suppose.
So, I mean, where to begin? I mean, Southampton, they're away to Spurs in the Premier League this weekend. They beat Portsmouth at Fratton Park, first time since 1984. It was Southampton's biggest away win for Pompey, against Pompey, sorry, and a Portsmouth fan punched a horse.
Yeah.
In the week when we start doing our live shows, it's pretty ideal for us.
Yeah, none of that is ideal.
Yeah.
There's nothing about that that is
strongly disagree.
Yeah. Why don't you guys do your bit?
Yeah.
Just do your bit, yeah. I feel like Pete.
I feel like Southampton.
Yeah, put upon. Yeah. Enjoying it.
Well, I mean, you guys, do you want them to face off your various horse punches? That's what we need to see. They're each on a horse.
I would need to know what conservatory the actual each respective horse came from.
Right.
Because which barracks it approached the fray from. So, because that might bring other factions in, find out where the horses were trained and supplied.
Yes, yes.
I don't know really, to be honest. Do you want to face off, Luke, in a horse punching battle where we each punch each other's horses?
We could just punch each other.
Well, I don't know if that's really in the spirit of it.
Yeah. We could put one of those horse masks on.
Yes.
I could donkey punch you.
Not again.
Oh, dear. But Southampton, they beat Portsmouth 4-0 at Fratton.
But the way you're looking at me is like you do actually want to talk about the game, but I'm nervous that you don't.
No,
Pablo Zabaleta did apologise for the West Ham performance, and I think he should apologise for this as well.
Oh, all the Portsmouth players have been apologising on Instagram all week. So don't worry about that.
Portsmouth had chances to go 1-0 up.
It was one of those games where I think, the win.
Was it a 4-0?
No.
Well,
I'm saying not.
I think when you set up, I didn't go to the game because it was difficult for me to get down there due to work. But you flick the TV on, you see the wind howling off the Surrey like it does, you see the rain pouring down, and you see the atmosphere that's generated by those fans who are very good at that night again. You think you should have a chance here. And then Portsmouth started well. They hit the post early on. There was an amazing save from Alex McCarthy in the goal from a Brett Pittman header. And the game... The result of the game probably hinged on that, because then Southampton were absolutely ruthless. As for the third and the fourth goal, it's difficult to be too judgmental, because Portsmouth players in that atmosphere are going to be expected to try and score. Mm. They're going to be expected to try and go. You can't, in that kind of game, you can't say 2-0 isn't a hammering. Let's just shut up shop and leave it there, because they're a Premier League team. You can't do that. They could have done that against Arsenal or Man City or something, but against Southampton, they can't do that. They're expected to push on and give the fans something to celebrate, because they haven't played them for such a long time, and because our record against them, Portsmouth's record against them, is good. Then Portsmouth just kept getting undone. It's big questions over Kenny Jacket now. He's a terrible start to the season with this team. They sold their best players in the summer. They were among the favourites to win the league. And this is the kind of result that people will remember, and they'll use it as a stick to beat him with. And some of his comments around some of these defeats Portsmouth have been suffering have been, I think, bordering on the bizarre. And some of the team selections he's made have also been strange. I mean, Portsmouth signed a player, a good centre-back, this summer, and he's just not playing him. He's playing Oliver Hawkins at centre-back instead, who's a striker. So if you're going to make some of those decisions... You're going to live and die by the sword. And if you get beat 4-0 at home by your biggest rivals, whatever division they're in, there are going to be questions.
Didn't somebody
you should not
you,
punch a horse.
Did,
no.
No, never punch a horse. Didn't somebody yet tweet you saying, why has your Cedric Tavernier got a number 9 shirt? It's like, because he's a striker.
He's a striker.
Weirdly, that is fine.
Can I also say, I love people listening to the show, obviously. We're very, very grateful for all their listenership and for their interaction online and all the rest of it. But can I just say, imagine messaging me, DMing me on Twitter, like 3 days after the game,
right,
and thinking you're the first person to tell me that a Portsmouth fan's punched a horse. You ain't going to be. Look, I've had 500 of them.
Look, I've had 501.
Have you? You had them as well?
And the email box. Mate, check out my Twitter, babe. It is just all horse punches.
Even I'm getting them.
Are you getting them as well?
Yeah.
We've got no other emails this week, Luke. It's just all about the horse punches.
I still get people sending me that kid who shaved his head like Sven.
Can I say, one of the things I did enjoy about seeing certainly the highlights of the game is I didn't realise that Portsmouth's sponsor is the city's own university. And Luke, is that a plea for the locals to educate themselves?
That's such a monumental thing.
That is rough.
Oh, dear. I'll tell you what.
I think I will crop that out. I will share it. And I'll let the people of Portsmouth decide that.
I was about to say.
Yeah.
Come to the Bournemouth show if you hate Jim Campbell. There's going to be a lot of hatred of that show.
Yeah, quite.
Absolutely. but yes, Southampton, they are away to Spurs, having hammered their fierce rivals in the South Coast derby.
And it's not. Let me be fair. I'm trying,
it's a South Coast derby these days.
I'm not trying to make it, like, trying to sort of say, oh, it's nothing, don't worry about it kind of thing. Yeah. It's a big defeat, Paul. It's a massively embarrassing defeat. As you said, it's the first time they've lost by that margin a long time. Ever, I think, isn't it? In terms of the margin, the biggest defeat ever at home, for sure.
Yes.
And it's the first time I've actually lost at home to for such a long time.
But you don't have to be realistic about what leagues you're in, though. Well, that's why I don't like...
But that's the thing.
I don't really get it.
Yeah, but there's a...
I think...
There's a lot of leagues between
them. No, there is, but I think 4-0 is quite
comprehensive. I don't think that would be that... If the situation and the occasion wasn't what it was, I don't think we'd bat an eyelid.
Yeah, if it wasn't a derby and it was 4-0, you'd be like, well, you know, that's what happens.
I mean, you know, some of the, you could see Nathan Redmond's going particularly was quite good. Danny Ings had a couple of smart finishes. You could see the Premier League quality in there.
Yeah, and they also, you should also point out that Hasenhüttl, having made a couple of strange comments last week, realised, I think, quite late on how big a deal this is for both teams. Mm-hmm. And he picked his strongest team. Mm. I mean, you know, how many other Premier League teams in the Carabao Cup this week picked their strongest team away from home?
Not many.
None of them.
I think anything less than this actual defeat for Portsmouth would have been a disaster for Southampton, personally. I think.
But would it have been one we could have got behind? Yeah. I think it would have been.
Well, Southampton, they go to Spurs, who, of course, lost on pens to League Two Leicester United.
Yes.
My giddy aunt. Spurs
there
started.
She is.
Yes. I didn't even mean that. It just comes out. Spurs started with Eric Dier in a back three alongside Sanchez. Walker Peters, Wanyama, Davis, Lucas Moura and Dele Alli also started. So there was some...
As you start to...
proper players in there. And then Poch brought on Eriksen, Son and Lamella to try and win the match. And that didn't work out very well. Because the game goes straight to penalties after 90 minutes these days, which is what we want to see.
Exactly.
What we want to see.
It's so weird, isn't it? Because Pochettino has this reputation as not really caring about the Cups, which, you know, to be fair, is based on things that he's said in the past.
But the things he's done.
But he's put a strong team out there.
Well, he cared about the Champions League.
Well, he's put players that would usually reside on the bench on, which, yes, is a strong team. And again, should be enough to get past that side. But these things happen.
Lucas Moura, Dele Alli, like Eriksen, Son and Lamella coming on, you know?
Dele Alli started.
Yeah, exactly. No, Dele Alli's not started in a while, has he? So
True. But that's more due to fitness issues than anything, isn't it?
But bringing on Eriksen, Son and Lamella smacks of, I want to win this. Yeah. Oh, crap, this is not what we want.
But I think it's just sort of like, oh, that's annoying. This is just going to be newspaper reports about this for, you know, editorials about this all week. You know, has Poch lost his touch? Am I a ghost of what I once was? Let's just finish this off, finish these guys off. But Colchester didn't let them. And no, they should didn't. Be
I didn't actually see the game. I've just realised that ex-West Ham forward Frank Nublai played up front for Colchester.
Wow.
I completely forgot about him.
How about that, eh?
God bless him. The fact I like out of this game is that all of the penalty takers for Spurs played in the Champions League final.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
And they still lost on penalties. Yeah. And I think we talked a bit about Spurs earlier this week, didn't we? Talked about the situation they're in. And we put a bit of mitigation out there about why they could be had such a difficult weekend last weekend, but I don't think they've won away from home since January.
Well, that's the stat, isn't it? Yeah,
I mean, it's a very, very bizarre thing.
I think, you know, they certainly won away from home in the Champions League. That counts, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think you're talking maybe in the league, because obviously they won in
domestic competitions.
Yeah, well. I can't think off the top of my head, but certainly in the league, that is the stat. But, I mean, speculation, Pochettino might leave, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. I mean, that was there when they were playing well, so
it's a bit different now, though, isn't it? I think it was more the worry then was that Pochettino would be poached and sort of move on to a bigger job. And now, I mean, obviously, this isn't indicative because the idiots always shout the loudest, but Poch out was trending on Twitter the other day, and it was really interesting. And some fans were saying, we're blaming him for their longest trophy drought ever, and it's like, well, you know, he wasn't in charge for a lot of that. That doesn't seem like a fair criticism.
Yeah, and trophies obviously mean a hell of a lot, but it's not always. It doesn't tell the full picture.
No,
I mean, they reached the Champions League final.
Exactly, but actually, a lot of fans were disregarding that, which is interesting. I suppose the form has been patchy, but they've been through it before, and actually. I don't think they would sack Pochettino. I think that would be absolutely nuts.
There's no suggestion of that.
I think he'd get bored.
That would be madness.
But there's
Levy does not pay severance.
I suppose you've got to take into account the games they've played away from this season. Man City away in the league, Arsenal away in the league, Leicester away. Yeah,
and they were very unlucky with the VAR decision with Leicester as well, which I think has to be factored in.
So I'm more fortunate at Man City, though.
Would you not have any interest in the idea that he's coming to the end of his cycle? I mean,
well, I think that's probably the...
He's not been really backed in. I mean, I heard a Spurs fan, quite an eloquent Spurs fan on the radio yesterday, maybe the day before, saying that he thinks that the blame should be laid at the chairman's door for not continually investing in the team and for expecting Pochettino to do this job in such circumstances. And you can't, I don't know if you can necessarily blame him. It might just be, as we said on Monday, he's the fifth longest serving manager in England.
And a lot of
managers don't stick around that long.
Managers
the ideas
talk
are
about,
difficult to keep going, aren't they?
Exactly. Well, managers talk about, you know, they go into dressing room and they talk a certain way, they use certain devices to get players, the best out of players. But it is a law of diminishing returns, and there hasn't been a lot of player turnover at Spurs. So maybe it's just everyone's just a bit too familiar and that contempt is bringing to the fore. And
I think if they had the one, I think if they had have won the Champions League, he would have gone. And I think that would have probably been the right thing to do, because the frustrating thing for Pochettino is he knows they're not going to overhaul Liverpool or Man City. No. They're not at the moment. And if Guardiola left at the end of the season, or Klopp did, you'd maybe think, okay, perhaps there might be a little bit of a shake-up there. But Pochettino, I think the only credible argument is, has he brought this team as far as he possibly can? Mm. And without some serious investment, you're talking the Van Dijk, Alisson,
because the way the
levels,
football landscape has changed.
Exactly.
And there's no shame in that, is there, Marcus? He's completely revolutionised the club.
Well, if Liverpool go out and buy Van Dijk and Alisson for the money they did, and we know the cash that Man City have spent, he has done a phenomenal job to take them where they are. Really, I think most people would probably, at least three of us in this room, would say Spurs are the third best team in England, probably, on their day.
Oh, they are, definitely.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, what an amazing thing to have done, to have taken them that far. Without a few hundred million to spend, they're not going to get in that
It would be really interesting, actually, if you were to leave. It'd be a test of their status, because I think a lot of people feel like it'd be a disaster if you left. But I don't know that it would, because they do have a very good squad. They're underperforming at the moment, without doubt. But there's a lot of great players in there, and players that are probably going to be quite loyal to Spurs as well. You look at Harry Kane and Dele Alli in particular.
Erickson.
And obviously there are exceptions, but I think, you know, they've got more clout than they've ever had. The stadium would be appealing to a lot of people, and it'd just be interesting to see who comes next.
So I think they can attract big players for the reasons you stated, Jim, for sure. I don't know if I agree they've got a... I think they've got a great squad. I think they've got a good first 11, but I think if you look through their squad, I mean, I'm not going to go through the whole thing forensically, but Ben Davis, is he really top-level player? Sergio Aurier, rash, inconsistent. You know, Lo Celso can't stay fit. He's obviously a great player, but he's not going to be part of the equation for a while now. Victor Wanyama can't stay fit. Best years behind him. Mm. Dele Alli can't stay fit. Danny Rose has wanted away for a while. A couple of the other players are in the last year of their contract. Davinson Sanchez has started the season badly. Carl Walker-Peters, we haven't seen enough of him. There's a lot of reasons why this could... I mean, I think even Hugo Lloris at the very top level, there might be question marks over him. So there are reasons you can attribute to perhaps a little bit of inconsistency. And again, I think that just points towards the amazing job that Pochettino's done. How this season transpires for Spurs will be very, very interesting. They can attract players, though, because they're a Champions League team. They've got the best stadium in the country. You know, some people say they've got the best stadium anywhere. So there's a lot of reasons they can be excited for the future. At the moment, they're just kind of caught between two stools. As Marcus rightly says, they're not Man City or Liverpool. But they are good enough to be in the Champions League consistently.
Absolutely. All right, then. Let's have some emails with PTD. This may have cost me in the region of £200.
Sorry?
Hey?
What?
Nothing.
Did you say there's a long one? Is that what I heard?
Oh, shit.
It's time for emails.
Oh, you stopped it.
Yeah, I'm just, you know.
Well, Marcus, this is why we can't have nice things.
You'll get yours.
Yeah.
Andy. Hello to Andy. Hi, Ramblers. Last week in the Northern Ireland Football League, the Niffl. A Polish player who plays for Niffl Championship team, Harland and Wolf Velders. Lucas Gwiazda was issued an arrest warrant for not showing up to court in relation to a host of driving offences. The following weekend, Haaland and Wolf Velders played, and of course, Lucas scores the winning goal. This is quite Mm-hmm. What was that?
Mm-hmm. No, I'm just. I'm into it. It's an interested noise.
He's into it.
He's
got him on his toes, haven't I?
This is quite funny as it is, but not the full story by any means. The Welders that day were playing against fellow championship side PSNI. Championship side, and they were. Which basically, they were playing against a team which comes from the police service of Northern Ireland.
Right.
So part of me wishes they had arrested him there and then, but I guess regardless, they've probably got him now anyway. I suppose this means that the police couldn't catch him on or off the pitch. So yeah, the guy who had an outstanding warrant.
I don't think that's an arrestable offence though, Pete, is it?
What, scoring a wicked goal?
Scoring an amazing goal against the police.
But the police should know who are on their wanted list.
That's true, yeah.
Any police horses involved?
No, unfortunately not. We'll find out.
Remember, there was a guy in Scotland who, I think technically, we might have talked about it at the time. Mm. But technically, Marcus, you might remember this. Mm-hmm. He couldn't go on the other half of the pitch because he had a banning order.
Oh,
yeah. And it was like a radius kind of banning order.
That's lovely. Yeah.
There's something like that. Yeah.
Was he wearing a tag?
There's been talk of players playing with tags as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Have you ever had a tag, Pete?
No, I haven't, no.
Never caught you yet, have they? I haven't got him yet.
Okay, 10 months on remand, you can't keep me down. Yeah.
7 months.
7 months on remand, can't keep me down.
Our man Taz.
Justin Griffith says, here's what you do about VAR. Sorry to bring it back to something a little bit serious. You keep the exact same system with the little lines across the pitch and stuff, but you take the horizontal crossfield line of the defending player and increase it in width. Say 50% or 100% to give it a bit of an air gap and keep the attacker's line the same width. If the attacker's line doesn't extend past the end of the defender's line, we are good. Now you've accounted for human error in the decision of when the ball left the passer's foot and eliminated the either you're offside or you're not calls that, while technically probably correct, everybody universally hates. I've even got a name for this new system. It's called the Justin is Cool Smart and Single System, and it has the benefit of being wildly expensive. I'll contact you with my bank account information in a separate email, which you can forward to Ricky Scuds.
Yeah, Justin, if you are emailing in to a football podcast such as this, saying that you're single,
well, you will remain so unless you are a gay gentleman.
Yeah, then you'll be fine.
You are quids in, mate.
Yeah, exactly.
So do let us know in that email.
But how do they know where to email? Because you cut the email jingle short.
Yeah, yeah. Good point. Actually,
show@footballrambledaily.com. Yeah. There's no there on it, as I said to Pete the other week. He would not.
Do you want
listen.
Some as well?
He would not listen.
Right.
All right, let's have a quick breaky poo.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying, and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.
Email us, let us know.
Yeah.
Show@footballrambledaily.com.
What did you say our email address was?
Show@footballrambledaily.com.
I'm sure you said the football.
There's no there in there, Pete. There's no there in there. Play it again.
No.
Welcome back to the preview show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway.
Thank you very much.
Got to get that in, gentlemen.
Luke just manhandled my iPad.
Did he?
And I feel violated.
Yes, that is a euphemism. Yeah, welcome back. We started our tour last night at Hackney Empire. Tomorrow night, we're at Alexandra Palace. Yes. There are still tickets available for that. It's a bloody lovely time. Not just our words, the words of people who came to see us yesterday.
Every single person.
Without exception.
Yeah. What
I in unison.
What I like about Alexandra Palace is in the actual development, there's like a really beautiful pub that's built into the actual grounds of the thing. Yeah. And you can sort of see across London, have a beer. It'll no doubt be open after the show, let's do that.
Is the Egyptian Sphinx still there?
Oh, I don't know.
We'll check. You were there last week, weren't you?
I was, yeah.
That's it.
Doing a solo show.
I need to let people know where they can get the tickets from, of course.
Oh, yes.
RambleLive.com. They're selling fast. The shows are going to come around very quickly, so don't delay. Get your tickets today. And particularly for US listeners, we see you. We're playing Ramble Live, of course, in the 5th, 6th, 7th and 8th.
Canadian ones as well.
Let me finish.
US listeners.
In both the US and Canada, it says here. And those tickets are going very, very fast. So please do move quickly on those. I think the first New York show is almost sold out already. So that's at the start of November where we go to US. And to our friends in Canada, America's Hat.
Why are you doing that hand gesture when you say Canada?
To show my support for them. Why build a rift between me and our Canadian brothers and sisters?
It's the Football Ramble / Luke Moore hatred show.
Oh, from goose eggs to moose eggs.
A moose egg's just a big turd, surely. Yeah. We've all got our visas back for the US as well, so we're definitely coming. Yeah. It's happening.
Can't stop us.
No. Well, I mean, they can. can.
Oh, I had to delete some tweets. I had to delete it. They ask for all your details.
Oh, that was 4 hours work.
I talk about Donald Trump quite a lot.
Didn't expect that from those delightful people.
Land of the free.
Those very fair people who work there. But anyway, let's move on before we get arrested.
For that.
Yeah.
No algorithm can check out this accent. A machine can automate this accent and get it into written form.
If it could, we wouldn't need you.
No. Sheffield United, they host Liverpool. Sheffield United beaten by giant killer Sunderland.
Mm. Yeah.
Max Power with another beauty.
Nice.
You can name a child that.
You can't have any other outcome.
I'm going to sound... determinism at its finest.
It is. Sound the cliche alarm, because I'm going to say a cliche, but I don't care because I sincerely believe it.
Yep.
That's good news for Sheffield United.
Yeah.
Get him out of that cup. You know, as we learned on...
Get him out the cup!
As we learned on the continent yesterday, next season in France, they're abolishing the League Cup.
Ooh.
And there's been a lot of chat about whether other countries should follow suit.
Right.
Of course, there's not been any chat about it here because we're very passionate about our cup competitions here in England particularly. But I honestly think that's the last thing Chris Wilder needs, a League Cup run. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying he would have gone out to not win the game. And of course, they did play a relatively strong side, I think.
They'd made 10 changes from the win at Everton.
I like their reserve team are a good team.
Yeah.
Yeah, a relatively strong side because I respect all their pros.
Relatively strong because they kept one.
Do you know what? I saw that Lim Mousset played and I thought, they've probably played everyone then.
I'm pretty sure it was 10 changes.
I'm slightly concerned about the fact that Sunderland might have a takeover fairly soon.
Well, I tell you what, Pete, they've knocked out Burnley, now they've knocked out Sheffield United.
Why the American conglomerates are interested.
Yeah, they've got a great documentary under their belt.
Great relationship with Netflix.
Absolutely,
exactly.
One of the strongest teams in the region.
I mean, they are.
Yeah, I know. I'm just...
Gateshead are a shit pit.
They are. Gateshead, bless them, they've only got about three players, or they did at one point.
And less said about Hartlepool, for better.
When are you going to invest, Pete?
Yeah, exactly, Pete.
Less than that racist club. Rubbish. Yeah.
Yeah, but you need to get in there. Start.
Get rid of the racism.
Yeah. Exactly. Buy the players yourself, like Rafa should have.
I'm only one man.
I didn't see this game, as you know, because I didn't know who any of the players were. but I've just noticed that Sheffield United played with two Freemans in midfield.
Oh, right.
First time? First time two Freemans have played in the same team?
That sounds like a Freemasons thing.
I was going to say, it sounds a bit strange. Mm. Maybe. Although with footballers' handshakes these days, you never know who's in and who's out there. But they're playing Liverpool, of course. It would be a tough game. Liverpool played MK Dons in the Carabao. They won 2-0, fielded a few of their youngsters. Mm. Harvey Elliott was unlucky, hit the bar a couple of times.
Yeah. He looks lively, doesn't he?
He does, yeah. I'm not a fan of the top knot, but then maybe that's because I'm a 37-year-old man and it isn't for me.
I hope he grows out of it, let's be fair.
It was the kids and Milner, old man Milner. Yeah. I really enjoyed that.
I really
feel for the MK Dons goalkeeper, because the first goal was an absolute pile driver of a Milner shot, and then he just spilled it. Something I really enjoyed about MK Dons as well, that I think you'll like, Marcus, in particular, is they've got a player called Connor McGrandall.
Do you know
who
what?
It sounds like someone you've made up.
I thought that when he missed a good chance, and they went, oh, McGrandall's has put it over or something. And I was thinking, did I? Is my brain like translating stuff into my own language?
Connor McGrandall's.
It's just pleasing to say.
Barry McGrandall.
There's just something very pleasing about Liverpool going away to MK Dons in the League Cup and midweek. James Milner putting an MOM performance from left back.
Yeah, absolutely.
Are you going to take this seriously, James? Yes, I am.
Goal and an assist. I think he was in the midfield.
I think he played left back, didn't he?
Oh, I don't know. Well, he had a chance when Harvey Elliott set him up beautifully and he headed just wide. And I felt sorry for Elliott because he should have got an assist there. But then he should have scored. The first one that came off the bar, I'd be disappointed.
Youngest ever Liverpool player to start a game? I think.
In a competitive match.
Yeah, and that is Liverpool, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
They've had some players and teams down the years. That's an incredible accolade for him.
Through the Fulham Academy.
The goal that Herver scored was an absolute bullet header.
A lovely header.
The kind of header that you just love the timing of the run.
It was
couldn't
great.
Be better. No break of the stride. Hit it at the powerful apex of his leap.
Yeah.
Lovely.
I tell you, who impressed was Jones for Liverpool.
Yeah. He looked busy, didn't he?
Yeah. He did, yeah. He looks a player. Mm. God, blimey. You think with Liverpool, you think the first 11, and now they're gently getting these youngsters to play, and you think, oh, blimey, they look magnificent. Rian Brewster played, of course. Mm. And he said that he'd been told by Klopp that he'll play this season. Whether Klopp said that or not, that's Brewster maybe trying to play mind games with his own manager. Yeah, he said, I'll play, but you've got to play me now.
It's a high-risk strategy, that, isn't it? Basically, I've told everyone, I've told my family I'm planning it at Sheffield United this weekend.
Yeah. Well, I mean, looking at the Liverpool side, the way they've started the season and whatnot, you can understand, maybe slightly prematurely, but you can understand Liverpool chief exec Peter Moore recently saying that Liverpool are back on their perch in reference to Sir Alex Ferguson. I mean, they are European champions.
Well, no, but the idea of the perch is about how many league titles is won, isn't
true.
it?
True, it was more about domestic league titles, I suppose he should have wait till the end of the season if they've won the league.
I have a memory of Exeter playing Liverpool in a cup competition when Paul Tisdale was manager of Exeter. Of course, he's at MK Dons now.
Right.
Am I alone here remembering that he presented Jurgen Klopp with a flat cap, one of his trademark flat caps?
Oh, did he?
You're right, mate. This sounds a lot like a dementia flat cap.
No, I think he did. And I wondered if there was any kind of presentation of a gift this time.
Oh, I don't know.
Listeners can get in touch, tell us.
Yeah, maybe.
I do like the idea of that. Just
because Paul Tisdale is known for being quite a natty dresser, his thing.
Very
and I think because Exeter are obviously a smaller club than Liverpool, they're excited to have Liverpool come to town. And I'm fairly certain Tisdale presented him with something. I think it was a flat cap.
Did he present him with the
best
men's coach at the FIFA Awards?
Imagine if Paul Tisdale was presenting that.
You presented him with something before, so can we get you in for this?
Yeah, you've got experience in this area. I'll tell you who didn't present it, Cristiano Ronaldo, who didn't turn up.
It was
revealed this week that in all the years of this award, Cristiano Ronaldo has never named Messi in his top three.
Amazing.
To be fair, Messi only started a couple of years ago. Didn't Mo Salah get very upset with the Egyptian...
you mean the awards only started a couple of years ago?
He has a weird relationship with them.
Didn't he? Sorry, we've moved on with you, Marcus, but we're remaining in Cristiano Ronaldo town with Luke.
Yeah, fine. Yes,
I was just saying. I thought this stat was across all the Ballon d'Or and everything.
He
never voted for Messi once in his three.
That's class.
It's funny.
Come on, he's looking after himself there.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Yeah, that's fair.
Tactical vote, isn't it?
But going back to Mo Salah, he's not best pleased with the Egyptian FA, who in turn are not best pleased with FIFA, because apparently the Egyptian FA and I think the captain of the Egypt's side, I think it was, they vote for the best men's player, of course, and their votes seem to be missing.
Yeah, I think they both voted for Mo Salah as their first choice.
That's what they say.
They weren't counted in the actual database that was released, the spreadsheet. I did a little control F find.
Nice.
The only person who voted was, I think, the second coach or the third coach, and his Mo Salah choice was third behind Virgil van Dijk. So Mo Salah is...
Ultimately, if you can't vote freely, what's the point of it?
Yeah,
I don't know why they're publicised.
Mo Salah has removed any reference to Egypt on his Twitter profile,
so petty.
Apparently. I don't know if that's returned, I haven't checked.
But El Mohammadi, Aston Villa's El Mohammadi is the captain of Egypt.
He is, I think. Yeah.
But my point was just clearly going to be, unless I've missed something here, what's the actual point of the award if everyone's going to vote for their own countrymen and their own teammates?
Yeah, but there's so many countries, like every I think FIFA.
So the cream
member.
Will rise to the top anyway.
Oh, what is that about? I mean, it used to be 205. I think it's about 215 or something we're up to now in the rankings. So.
So Turks and Caicos aren't getting anyone named in
exactly,
it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because there was that time, wasn't there, when, I forget who it was, a country of one of the really small nations voted for Ryan Giggs when Giggs was like way past his best. It was just this lovely little thing, like looking at all the people who voted, and he was like Kaká and all these sort of players, and then it was just one vote for Giggs.
Didn't Roy Hodgson, when he was England manager, do some weird votes?
Sounds about right.
I mean, I suppose not that weird, but it was kind of out of the ordinary where didn't he vote for Javier Mascherano as number one?
That's right. I rated that.
Yeah, is that right?
Yeah. Myself. Yeah,
that's what I'm looking for in a player.
Exactly. Who would fit in one of my zones very well?
Who would follow one of my endless training drills without complaining? Yeah.
All right then. Let's move on, shall we, to Manchester United versus Arsenal. Arsenal dispatched Nottingham Forest 5-0 in the cup. Easy peasy. Rob Holding returned to the side after a 10-month injury layoff. I mean,
he wore the captain's armband for a little bit.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
In his absence, he's become like seen as the greatest defender in history. But he did. Yeah. He played very well. Scored a goal. I was really delighted for him. I like Rob Holding a lot, and I feel like we just haven't seen enough of him in an Arsenal shirt. So I hope he can get a run in the side and get back to full fitness quickly and just kick on.
Talking of armbands, Paul Merson believes that David Luiz has got to be Arsenal captain because he believes David Luiz is a serial winner.
It's like people phone Paul Merson when he's just woken up. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's not quite awake. Yeah. He's half in a dream.
See what you mean. Kieran Tierney made... Was it his debut? I think it
Kieran
was his
Tierney,
debut.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
But by all accounts, played very, very well too.
I saw a bit of that game.
Didn't find a stream. But yeah, he was very busy down the left hand side, and Nottingham Forest, with respect to them, are not going to put up the sort of fight that Man United will. Well, maybe they will, but
I'm not sure I agree with you.
I would have thought Tierney's not that far away from starting for the Premier League.
I don't know. I mean, he was injured for quite a while, wasn't he? So you don't want to sort of rush players.
I
back
don't think he'll play this
too
week,
much.
Yeah.
No, I'd be surprised.
But Jim, I would be looking if I were an Arsenal fan, and I would be looking to say to the team to be like, we can win this game.
Yeah,
I mean, this is a game.
Absolutely.
We have to target to win. We shouldn't be scared of anything. Look at the way West Ham brushed Man United aside.
Yeah.
It wasn't a big deal. It wasn't a get out of jail win. It was a worthy win, and we can do the same.
Sorry, Jim.
I feel the issue with Arsenal's league form, though, has been that they're not very good at setting the agenda. It's as we've touched on quite a few times.
They've not been
a
good at that for years, have they?
No, they've not. You don't really know what Arsenal are trying to do at the moment, and you get the impression that they're not entirely sure either. So.
I mean, let's be perfectly honest. Manchester United will win this game.
You think?
Of course they will. This is the most Arsenal thing of all time. Man United are rubbish at the moment.
Yeah.
Even Rochdale are getting a draw with them after 19 minutes. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Arsenal, they're going, okay, we'll go there. And Arsenal will be beaten 1-0 through a Harry Maguire header.
Even that season under David Moyes, when they were really piling in and everyone was winning, Arsenal lost 1-0 to a Robin Van Persie
I can't imagine Arsenal.
Maybe you're right.
Shout
not.
Out to Rochdale's manager, Brian Barry Murphy. Shout out to them genuinely having a chance to win it quite late on.
Also, Luke Matheson, 16 years old, scoring that goal at Old Trafford. What a brilliant story.
Yeah. Blimey. I mean, you, Greenwood scored for Manchester United. Again, he's keeping on the teenager sort of chat, which is great because there's been a bit of chat about him. He looks a real player.
Mm.
So for him to get a goal to play a bit, I mean, he'll be looked as the saviour of that side in probably about 6 months or something.
And Axel Tuanzebe wore the captain's armband as well, I think, which is quite interesting. And Jesse Lingard got an assist.
He did. How about that?
After you had a go at him.
Yeah, against Rochdale in the cup. Yeah.
After you had a go at him.
Yeah.
17th place in League One, Rochdale.
So just above Portsmouth.
Hey, but you've got to get through the tie, haven't you? Doesn't matter how you get through, you've got to get through.
Daniel James got the winning penno.
Even if you need penalties.
Yeah.
Is it, I mean, Paul Pogba was obviously back in the side now. There's a talk that him and his agent, Mina Raiola, are going to ask Manchester United for an improved contract. Now, bearing in mind we're not even in October.
Yeah.
So the window is January. Paul Pogba hasn't really played much and it's been reported at times that he's been a bit of a disruptive influence. Is it time for them to ask for $600,000 a week.
Him. I wonder if this is a ploy, isn't it? Like Mino's going into that
of course
meeting going, oh, you've seen what they're writing about, $600,000 a week. We'll take $500,000.
Yeah. Exactly. If anything, he took a $100,000 pay cut.
You know? I think Paul Pogba's been reported as being on 15 or 16 million a year or something anyway.
Give him more.
I don't know what that is in weeks.
Maybe they need to motivate him more. Give him more
might be that, like, this is actually they're trying to get them to sell Pogba.
Well, it might well be that they think that if they tell Man United about it now, give them a lot of time to get used to it when they eventually give them the contract in the summer, because they get scared again losing a player and they've finished 50 points behind Man City. It's time for Betway's Four to Score, guys. Four to Score on Betway is free. You just pick the first goal scorer in Betway's four selected matches each round. If you are correct this week, you can win up to £100,000. It's rolled over again. To play, you go to betway.com/4to-score. That's /4 and then to score. Of course, make sure your selections are submitted before the first game and further T's and C's apply. Of course, because there's four games and four goal scorers and four of us, we pick one each week. We've come a bit close here and there, but not that close. Jim, you were correct last week with your no goal scorer in the Newcastle game. Who have you gone for? You've got Bournemouth v West Ham, which kicks off at 3 o'clock on Saturday this week.
I'm going to play it fairly safe this week and go for Callum Wilson because he's in form. Bournemouth are at home. I think that's a pretty good shout.
You played it safe last week as well when you predicted Newcastle Brighton 0-0.
No one won it last week because
Jim's the only one who's to get one right. In fact, Jim's got two right.
We've definitely got.
Because Pete's was an own goal that time. I've not got one right yet.
I think I have.
Have you?
I think we'll check that for next week. Okay. Callum Wilson in Bournemouth v West Ham. Pete, you've got Wolves v Watford, which also kicks off at 3 o'clock on Saturday.
Yeah, I can't really call which way this match is going to go.
Tough game.
You might see like Watford with a bit of a reaction, or you just might see further problems for their manager Andre Gray. Got to go for.
You're going for Andre Gray.
Nice and easy, Andre Gray.
Okay, he might not start the game, but we'll see. I think he might start with Welbeck and Delafeu, but we'll see. You never know. I've gone for Jamie Vardy in Leicester v Newcastle, which I think is a fairly safe bet. That kicks off on Sunday at 4:30. Marcus, you've got Everton v Man City.
Yeah, I've gone for Kevin De Bruyne, and the reason for that is I think Everton will try and pack that defence, and De Bruyne will probably just whip one in from about 25 yards to open the scoring.
Not bad, can't argue with that.
Type of goal predicted as well.
Yeah, it could be a free kick, could be from open play. It's going to be Kevin De Bruyne.
All right then. Betway.com/4to-score to play along. It's free to play, of course. The current prize is £100,000. Just go to betway.com/4to-score. That's the number four and to score. And please remember to bet the responsible way.
And now it's time for Going for Gold.
Marcus did this. The time is right. It's time for you, for you to play the game.
As people are coming, everyone's trying to. This is the big one.
Oh no, I know what you're doing. To reach for the sky, cause
the stakes are so high. Not stopping this one. Get into it, Marcus.
Woo!
Come on.
Do you want me to apologise?
Go for it. Only the best survive.
If I say sorry, will you stop this?
Say sorry, we'll find out.
He can't bring himself to.
No, because he's going to get a sorry and then carry on playing.
Excuse me. There we go. Get away in the world. It's
harder each day. Trying to get where we want to. Marcus.
Yeah.
That's the toughest thing at all. All together. Getting it right.
All we need is a little more getting it right.
Stay in the fight. Belzy, get involved.
So, there we go. Yeah, back in.
So,
why do you have this to hand? People are coming, everyone's
trying to be the best that they can. To reach for the sky, we'll
come on. So high, we're all going for gold.
You brought this on us, Marcus.
Yeah. Shouldn't have made me stop the email jingle, mate.
Up yours.
Have you learnt your lesson?
Go on. Play it again.
If you would like to enter a mystery footballer for the Going for Glold competition, it's glold at footballrambledaily.com.
First of all, if you're still listening.
If you're still listening. Yeah.
You are.
I think
rotter.
It's just a to it's killer, a belting killer tune.
It's a great tune.
Hans Zimmer.
Alex, rotter. It is. Alex says, here are some clues. He doesn't say that. He just gives his name. I was born in the autumn of 1977, one day after the birth of Frederick Canute and one day before pop producer and international jet setter Mark Ronson.
I didn't know Mark Ronson was that old.
Great exfoliation. Yeah.
1977.
Hello, I'm Mark Ronson.
What was the month in 1977?
Autumn.
Does it matter?
1977.
Yeah, it does matter, because I don't work autumn. Out in my mind how old he is. Sometimes I can attribute players to their actual ages. Oh,
okay. Can you?
Sometimes.
I'm so bad at that.
Stop.
42?
No, I'm having a go. Stop.
Yeah.
Paul Merson.
Incorrect.
Paul Merson's not 42, is he?
Yeah, he is.
Well, I'll tell you what. He needs to look after himself more then.
Jimbo, are you going to bring
up
something
Merce
in there?
How old's Merce?
All right.
What have we got, Jim?
A little side game. Merce stop. Andros Townsend.
Incorrect. As a child, I was a tennis prodigy.
Paul Merce is 51.
Sylvain Viltord.
Incorrect.
Stop.
I think I got
I think there. You got there, Marcus.
Paolo Maldini.
Incorrect.
Stop. Is it Diego Forlan?
Incorrect.
Oh.
Guys.
Oh, Maldini's older than 42. That's
Paul Merce is 51, by the way.
Yeah.
You get, none of you guys can get involved in
Hang
this
on,
one, then.
Tell Jim how old Andros Townsend is.
Not 42.
Everyone stop this. Play the game.
Right.
Well, this is a new clue. This is a new clue. We can all get involved
in
this
one. Yeah, of course we can.
Next clue.
You guys stopped me in the middle of this one. No, I've not finished the
tennis prodigy.
Oh, sorry, okay.
You guys are yapping. As a child, I was a tennis prodigy, and it wasn't until I was 14 years old that I decided to take a chance on the football pitch. This is the clue you get involved in. During my time as a player, my clubs included Olympiacos, Villarreal, Copenhagen, and Juventus.
Tell you what, we need to stop getting such hard ones.
Can you say them again, sorry, yeah. The clubs?
Villarreal, Olympiacos, Copenhagen, and Juventus. We've got a lot of clues, so I'll pile through them. I made my international debut against Austria in March 2000, and I have appeared at a total of 2 World Cups and 4 European Championships.
Stop. What's his name? Is it Lawson? Larson?
It's not incorrect.
I can't remember his name. I'll hand
you
it. The blonde player, Hodgson signed.
The blonde player.
Oh, you mean Sorloth?
No.
All right. Wasn't he?
He's not 42.
No.
I scored on the opening day of the 2006-2007 Premier League season, making me the first player to score in a competitive game at the Emirates Stadium.
Stop. Olof Melberg.
Hey!
Jim Campbell wins.
Well done, Jim.
In 2003, I won the Guldbollen after being voted Sweden's Player of the Year.
He played for Juventus.
Apparently so.
Yeah. That's surprising.
Good knowledge, though, Jim. Good knowledge, everybody. Another win for Jim Campbell there. Right, thank you very much for listening to the preview show sponsored by Betway on Football Ramble Daily. Of course, tomorrow, Jonathan Wilson and myself are going to be in your ears with the Greatest Games podcast. It's going to be an absolute cracker.
Oh.
And come and see us at Alexandra Palace, for crying out loud. And also look out for the hashtag Ramble Live on Twitter. Mm. We'll read your questions out on the stage. We'll be doing that for all our live shows, so get involved in that.
What's the hashtag? Ramble Live?
Ramble Live, I believe. Yeah.
Get your tickets. RambleLive.com.
See ya.
Bye.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack
for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
People of the US, great news. The Formula One Circus is coming to Miami this weekend, and we've got everything you need to know on P1 with Matt and Tommy, the Formula One podcast from Stack. It doesn't matter if you're an F1 veteran or hardly watch a race. If you want a fun breakdown of the biggest stories from this weekend's race, we've got you covered. Join us for previews and reaction episodes from practice, qualifying and the race itself, plus our full driver rankings podcast early next week. You'll be armed with enough info to make you look like a bona fide expert when the race rolls back around next year, or at least when you see your friends next week. Search P1 with Matt and Tommy in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now.